Morning. So last week, Dave spoke and likened we're going through the book of Philippians, and I'm closing that series off today. And the last one we're going to be looking at today is looking at new generosity. And last week, Dave was talking about standing firm in the faith, and he likened a lot of what he spoke about to the classic film Gladiator with Russell Crowe. Here he is. Look at him, just all in his glory. And I was actually thinking a couple of weeks before the hand about just part of this intro about a particular scene in Gladiator, very iconic scene where Russell Crowe comes out into the arena and he defeats all the gladiators that are there, and he turns to the crowd and he says, "Are you not entertained?" Do you remember this scene? I don't know if everyone's seen it. And I was thinking as I was preparing it, being like, "Are you not transformed?" You know, here since we've been working through this Philippians series. And the reality of the answer to that question is hopefully yes, but from where we were to where we are now. And in Philippians, in chapter 1, it says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So whilst our transformation will be continuous, even though we're just drawing a little close to our transformation series, our transformation is always going to be continuous, and we're going to be carrying on with that in our faith and in our walk with Christ. And I've really enjoyed this series. I hope you have as well. So far, we've looked at all sorts of topics in terms of coming to faith and what that then means in terms of having a new heart, you know, new attitudes and new confidence, just to name a few. And I'd encourage you that if you've missed any of them, they're up on our external website. Have a look at jubileechurchshepton.org and catch up on the downloads and give them a listen, because they will serve you well. I'm sorry, Elliot, I'm bouncing up and down, aren't I? But today we're going to be closing the series. I said we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 4, 10 to 20, verse 10 to 20, and we're going to be looking at the subject of new generosity. So if you've got a church Bible, you can find it on page 1181, or the words will come up on the screen behind me. But I'm just going to pray first, and then we'll look at it together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are generous, and you are so generous to us. Father, would you help us here today? Would your presence be in this place today? Lord Father, I pray that you would just anoint the words that you've given me, that they might bless our church. That, Lord, we would just be able to capture some of this message around generosity when we look at the book of Philippians. And, Lord, that we would just be able to carry on and be transformed with an idea of what new generosity looks like. Jesus, we're so thankful that you've just done everything for us. Would you carry on doing more today in this place? Amen. So Paul is talking to the Philippians, and he is thanking them for their gifts. And it says this, it says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I receive from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." So we're going to unpack this passage with four building blocks that I've been encouraged by as I've been reading. So firstly, what is generosity? And I looked at the definition. Generosity is the quality of being kind and generous, which is really helpful when you're describing a word to chuck it back in the mix. But there we go, that's a definition for it. And you know, we can be generous in all sorts of ways. We can be generous with our time. Do you know you have 24 hours each day and then the clock resets? How we choose to use that time is important. And we can be generous with it. We can be generous with our resources, with our homes, with our belongings, our possessions. We can be generous with our resources. And of course, we can be generous with our money and how we choose to use our money. And the first thing that I really felt encouraged by when I was reading this passage was about the heart of generosity, or it comes from a place of concern or of compassion. That first verse says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." You know, the generosity from the Philippians comes from a heart of being concerned for Paul, of having compassion for Paul, which then stirs them into an outward display of affection through the giving of gifts and the giving of aid to support him in his ministry. And we spoke earlier in the series about when we respond to the message of the gospel, we start to get a new heart. Our heart starts to change, and we start to be more motivated by love and compassion and concern. You might be a very loving, compassionate person, but let me tell you, when you capture the heart of the gospel, you start to become even more loving, even more compassionate, even more concerned for others. And the reality of that is that we then become less self-focused, because we become more focused on others. And we know that it's easier to be stirred to generosity, or to be stirred to use our resources well, or our time well, or our money well, when we have a clear cause to be generous towards. And it's the same in the wider world. Devastating or tragic events usually stir a response of incredible generosity. Now, I think in less than 24 hours after the fire at Notre Dame, millions and millions and millions of pounds have been pledged and raised to the restoration of the building. A number of years ago here at church, we had a gift aid. I don't know if you remember, we had a gift aid, a specific gift aid, because of the earthquakes that happened in Nepal. There's some around who still remember that. And Keith and Vinodia, who came and shared with us a couple of about a month ago, took the money that we raised together out to the church in Nepal to bless that church and the community to help them rebuild. But it's important to also be generous in the everyday situations. Last month, I was driving home from work, and after a meeting, and I stopped off at Sainsbury's to get our dinner. It's always good to get your dinner in. That's what I like to think. Probably too much dinner these days, but it's good to get your dinner in. And as I parked up in a bay, I saw this old man struggling to shut his car boot. And I mean, really struggling to shut it. And I was quite a few bays away. And by the time I got there, he shut his car boot, and he turned the corner with his turned around the corner of the car, and he was pushing a trolley. And as I was walking closer to him, I was thinking, Tim, you saw how much he struggled to shut his boot. You should offer to help take his trolley back to the trolley bay. And you know, just being honest, and in front of you, you know, you're walking there and you're thinking, I've had a tough day. I can't be bothered to do this. Do you know? And as I was walking, I sort of almost walked past, and I had that thought of, come on, Tim, that little nudge to say, come on, Tim, you can help this guy. So I turned back towards him, and I said, hey, excuse me, can I take your trolley back for you? And he said, that would be brilliant. Thank you so much. And then he said, oh, but the pound coin, because it was one of those situations where there's the trolley release and there's a pound coin. And I said to him, it's okay, I will take your trolley, I will bring the pound back to you. Afterwards, I was thinking, if I had a pound on me, I should have just been like, there you go, that's... But anyway, that's beside the point. So I took the trolley there and I brought it back with a pound coin. I gave it to him. He was sort of saying, oh, God bless you. And I was like, I don't know if he believes. And I was like, oh, God bless you, you know, on your way today. And we ended it there and I went, got my dinner and I went home. As I got home, it was a hot day. I changed out into some other clothes and I pulled some shorts from the drawer. And as I put them on and I sat down, I felt something digging into the back of my pocket, into my leg in the back of my pocket. So I put my hand in my pocket and I pulled out a pound coin that was in my pocket. Now, I want to be clear for me in terms of this moment, the significance was not in finding an actual pound in my back pocket. It wasn't about the monetary value there. You know, God may have put that pound coin there, maybe I left a pound coin there. You know, there's a mystery element to that. But the significance, what I felt, was that God said to me, I saw what you did. In that moment, I saw what you did. And I saw how you chose to be generous with your time or just with your help. And for us, it's about the everyday situations, having a heart of generosity in the everyday situations, not just the situations that are, that are tragic or anything like that, but just every day having a heart of compassion or concern for people that says, I want to be generous with what I have. And Paul is commending the church here in Philippi that for their generosity, for the motivation that sits behind them, that comes from a place of love first. And then as we move on, there's a secret of contentment, it says here. And I don't know, I tried to, does anyone remember the film? Well, it's actually a book, really, isn't it? The Secret Garden, you know, that book. It's like, got a little picture of a, whether you can see that very well, but of a garden that kind of looked like, oh, that's a nice where, for me, going for a nice walk is where you can find some rest and some peace. And this is what Paul says. He says, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And you know, Paul is someone who definitely knows what it's like to live in want. And he's definitely someone who, from his past, would have lived in plenty. And even, as he says later on in the scriptures, he's lived in plenty. In the second letter to the Corinthians, to the church in Corinth, he has some balance of a sort of a, probably a, called a boast, or somewhere between a moan and a boast, where he says that all the times that he has suffered for the gospel, he says, I've been flogged, I've been shipwrecked, I have gone hungry, I've gone thirsty, I've been cold, and I've been naked. So here is a guy who can speak from experience that we can listen to when he says, I know what it's like to live on both sides of the fence. Yet here it says, neither circumstance of that fence is he affected. And he says, why? Because I've learned to be content in all situations. And you're thinking, how do you learn to be content like that, Paul? Tell us the secret, because I want to be someone who's like that. I want to be someone who can be content in any situation. And in verse 13, he says, I can do all these through him who gives me strength. That he said, I can be content through Jesus Christ, who gives him strength. Do you know, if you are a believer here in Jesus, you are loved. Do you know, you are cherished. You are a son or a daughter of the Creator Most High. You are royalty. That is who you are, if you choose to believe. That is who you are. And by the way, the Creator of the universe, the Creator who did all of that, is the one who's saying that he can give you strength. Yes, please. Can I have some of that? And in that place, there is nothing that can be gained to increase that fulfillment in Christ Jesus. There's nothing to be gained that can increase that fulfillment through if we were to have 25 hours a day or 26 hours a day or greater wealth or greater possessions. There is nothing that can be added to that fulfillment through Christ. And equally, there is nothing that can be taken away from that fulfillment if you had 23 hours or you had less wealth or you had less material. There is nothing that can be taken away from the fulfillment that we have in Christ Jesus. And you know, when we live in that truth and that knowledge of everything that he has done, One of the songs earlier was like, thank you so much for everything that you have done. It says we can be content in all situations because we put our trust in him. We don't put our trust in ourselves, we put our trust in him for everything. And we can be freed from a desire of gaining more, or of wealth, or of freed from the anxiety and the worry that comes from those places, freed from comparison where it says, oh, but this person over here or that person over there has this or that. We can be content in every situation, it says, every circumstance that we find ourselves in. And from that place, there can be a joy and a freedom in which we can be generous. When we sort of, when you lift off those shackles that you think are binding us, we can be free to be generous with what we have been given. There is no comparison. It's not, you know, me against someone else. It's, this is what I've been given. It's how I've been blessed. So from this place, I can be generous from what I have been given. Because we want to bless others because we've been blessed much by Christ. And Paul goes on. He describes them as being, I've described them as being generous givers, to be fair. The early church in Philippi were known for their generosity, even right from the beginning of their journey of faith. It says that they were partnering with him. It says, yeah, it was good of you to share in my troubles. That word share, it's always good to look at your Greek, if you have one of those Greek books. That's something the Foundations course teaches you. Fact for free, everyone. Look at the Greek words and what they mean. But this word here, this word share, it means to the emphasis is on partnering. The emphasis, and that it's used in, usually it's used in the context of maybe marriage or of community or of fellowship. And he's saying it was good of you to partner with me, you know, in intimacy, as it were, partner with me in my troubles there. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me. He's saying not one church partnered with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. That idea almost that, you know, we prayed for Dave and for John who are going off to Serbia. And if they were to stay out there for, please don't, John and Dave, please come back. But if you were to stay there, it'd be like us saying, we're going to continue to bless you and to partner with you in what you're doing over there because of your what you're doing to advance the gospel and the kingdom. They're generous givers. And do you know that in the book of Romans, one of the gifts that Paul describes in chapter 12 of Romans is the gift of giving. There's a couple, I'll give some examples here. Where it is, oh, I just ripped my Bible. Is that awful? I know. So keen to share that with you that I've just ripped my Bible. It says, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to give encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. There's a whole load of gifts that were mentioned there. And I was thinking, how often might we say, hey, Lord, would you give me the gift of prophesying? And he might say, hey, how about the gift of giving? Lord, the gift of prophesying, please, is what I'd like. You know, he says the gift is then to give generously. Because later on in the Bible, in the letters to the church in Corinth, Paul says to encourage the believers there to eagerly desire those gifts, to ask the Spirit for those different gifts. So although he's saying in Romans, he's also saying elsewhere that actually you can almost ask for these gifts. You know, we can see the church in Philippi had this gift and they gave generously, but we can ask for these gifts. But we also have to be clear on our motivations behind it. I know we mentioned earlier that it comes from a place, first of all, of concern, and it comes from a place of compassion. But you also have to be clear that there are no strings attached with our giving. We're not looking for gaining favor. We're not looking to gain influence or power over any situation or circumstances. It's a free gift that we're giving across. And part of the place is like going, actually, I've been given much, therefore I want to give. But it's a free gift. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking of some of the examples in the Bible. When we think of, you know, the feeding of the 5,000, that little boy doesn't say the disciples turned him up by his ankles and shook him until 5 loaves and 2 fish fell out of him. And they're like, oh, great, here's our lunch, everyone. And it doesn't also say, in terms of the strings attached, that he mentioned anything like a but only, but if. It doesn't say, hey, guys, oh, it looks like you need some food. I've got some food available. Who are you feeding? They're like, everyone you can see. He's like, oh, there's a lot of people here. I'll give you my lunch if I'm first in the queue. You know, he doesn't say that. Or maybe they're very kind to him and it just wasn't recorded. But he doesn't say that about him. Equally, in the book of Acts, Barnabas sells a field. Can you imagine effectively like selling your home, bringing that money to the apostles' feet and saying, here you go, to be used as a free gift to advance the kingdom of God? He doesn't say, you can only use this money if you set up a ministry for fishermen or something. He doesn't say that. It's like, here's the money to go and be used. Generosity is freely given. And we do have to be, we do need to be wise, and we need to think it over, and we need to pray about it. But when we give that gift, whether it's our money, whether it's our time, whether it's our lunch, as it were, it's a free gift to be used by whoever we were trying to bless. And you know, here at the Jubilee, we're partnering with Christ to build his kingdom. We're doing that already. We are partnering with Christ. You know, we've heard the example of John and Diana already talking about Debtscape, partnering with to help bring good news to the poor, to help people who are in debt, who are struggling, help find a way out of that. In terms of our Bags of Food program, we're generously partnering as a church to help give food to the poor, give food to those in need. In addition, our New Covenant Trust that Stephen spoke on, I think last month, is a way that we can partner with one another and we can be generous with what we have so we can bless those in this community. We're already doing that. And then the last one that I felt really challenged by God with was that about an eternal perspective, having an eternal perspective on our generosity. It says, not that I desire your gifts, what I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I receive from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. There is an eternal perspective here. And in the Bible, there are verses that speak on what giving is like from an eternal perspective. And I've just pulled out just a few because there are many in here. But in the book of Matthew, it says, Jesus is saying about storing up treasures in heaven. He's saying, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's saying about having an eternal perspective on what we're doing. Have an eternal perspective. And in the book, in Proverbs, there's a number of different verses that we can take encouragement from. In Proverbs 14:31, it says this, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. In Proverbs 19:17, it says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. And Proverbs 22:9 says this, the generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Just like what we're doing with Bags of Food, But there's verses there that are talking about having an eternal perspective on our generosity, having an eternal perspective on how we choose to be generous. And Paul is describing in these verses like having a spiritual bank account, as it were. He is saying, he is desiring that God would bless the church in Philippi by crediting more to their account. And I don't know whether that is an account that can, as it were, be drawn down in this lifetime or an account that can be drawn down in the next. But just like that story I shared earlier, what we do doesn't go unnoticed by God. What we do is definitely noticed by him. And he is pleased by our generosity. He loves it when we are kind to the needy, whether it's a stranger or a friend, when we make sacrifices to advance his kingdom. In the film Chariots of Fire, have people seen the film Chariots of Fire? Again, probably a book, but in the film Chariots of Fire, it's about the 1924 Paris Olympics. And in the film, Eric Liddell, who is a devout Christian born to Scottish missionaries in China, what it says here is, in terms of a summary, it says he sees running as part of his worship of God's glory, and he refuses to train or compete on Sundays to keep the Sabbath day holy. The race he was due to run, I think it was like a 200 or 100, but the race final was due to be on a Sunday. And he said, I'm not racing. But the thing that, where he feels gives most glory to God, he was going to say, I'm not doing that because I think that lands on a Sunday. So instead he entered a different race. He entered the 400 meters instead and worked his way through the competition. He gets to the final of that. And one of his competitors hands him a scrap of paper that is kind of a summarized verse of in the book of Samuel, which says, you know, he who honors God, God will honor. And he went on to win that race in that story. And then he went on to actually go and be a missionary himself in China. So for us, how we honor God with our generosity is important. And how we choose to say, I'm going to honor you, this matters. Paul describes their giving as a fragrant offering, as an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And then he says, my God and my God, a personal touch there will meet all your needs, according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Do you know, all generosity is a sacrifice. All generosity is a sacrifice, whether it's your time, whether it's your resources, whether it's your money, all of it is a sacrifice, because it's effectively saying, what I have, I'm giving away, when I could have had myself, or I could have used for myself. And he's saying here it is a fragrant offering that the church in Philippi were giving. And you know, it's not always the case. If we go to the very first offering that was given, it takes us all the way back to Genesis, it takes us all the way back to Cain and Abel, and it says in Genesis 4, now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil, and in the course of time Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Do you know, it's important that when we partner with God in our generosity and our offering, how we give our offering is important. Our approach and our attitude towards that is important. In terms of preparing for this, I've been really challenged in terms of my giving to the church. And I've been challenged about how I approach it. Now, there is the wonder of modern banking, which is a godsend. Thank you, Lord, for sending modern banking for us. It makes life much easier. It makes life much easier for the treasurer of the church. But I felt God challenged me in this. He said, make sure you know your offering is not another bill. You know, your offering is not a different mortgage, or it's not a Netflix account subscription, or it's not a gym membership that I never turn up to. It is not a bill, Tim. Your offering is this picture here of the cosmos, as it were. Your offering, your generosity is an offering to the creator of the Most High, the creator who is Most High, the creator of the entire universe. I want to partner with him in my giving. And Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you're abound in every good work. No one is under any obligation to give. And Dave mentioned that in terms of our general baskets that go round. And I think as a leadership, we hope people feel that way, that you're not obliged to give. Because what this is it's a, in terms of any giving, in terms of what we have, whether it's our time, whether it's our money, whether it's our resources, is a situation between an individual and God. And when we think about this idea of a cheerful giver and that under obligation, you think about the story of Cain and Abel. I don't know the ins and outs, but you kind of think about that approach to it, and you can think actually that maybe, probably flippant is not the right word to use, but you could think that Cain was possibly a bit laissez-faire in his approach to his offering, whereas Abel was maybe more purposeful, more approaching it with, hey, Lord, I want to bless you with what I have, and this is what I have, and this is, I want to give you the best of that. So this is the sort of challenge that I felt as I was preparing this. These are the questions that I felt God put on my heart. How often do I partner with God over my offering? How often do Emma and I partner with God over our offering as a family? You know, as our saying, here's the income, Lord, that we have been given. Here is the resources that we have. Here's the time that we have this month to serve you. How do I partner with him when looking at that? When weighing up the, well, here's where we are. Here's what our future plans are. Here's how we want to sustain and look after our family. And Lord, here is how I want to be partnering with you to advance your kingdom. Lord, how do you help me bridge that gap between those things and just put on my heart and help me work through some of those things? How do we partner with him? Do we even, just being honest, these are some of the challenges. I think for me, I have looked at it as kind of a bit of a, it goes out of the account. I don't really think about it too much. It goes out of the account. But am I praying into what I am giving and saying, like the boy with the who brought his lunch to the feeding of the 5,000, Lord, would you take this little that I have and would you multiply it miraculously so that it would advance your kingdom? Do I? The answers to a lot of these are, so far is no, and that's kind of what I want to be challenging to actually do. But do I do that? Do I say, Lord, this is what I'm bringing. Please would you do wonders with this so that it would advance your kingdom and that people would be reached and people would be blessed with this? Do I ask God as a, Lord, would you give me the gift of giving? And would you then help me give generously? Do I ask that? Do I want to ask that? It's probably the underlying deep question that I need to sort of resolve for myself. But it's a challenge. Do I want to be a giver and to give generously? And you know, within all of this, there is a promise of a blessing that is in there, of a prayer that Paul says that as we are generous and cheerfully giving, that God would meet all of our needs. He doesn't say our wants, and we know that we all have a lot of wants. And it doesn't say, like it also says in the Psalms, that God knows the desires of our hearts, but that our needs would be met. Through the riches of Christ Jesus, we ourselves would be cared for. So I don't know, Paul, would you be able to come and play something for us in the background? Just to kind of want to wrap up, I felt it would be just good to respond into some of those questions, just have a moment to actually say, you know, I'm just coming back to you, God, just coming back to your feet. I just want to ask you, Lord, would you just help me with this subject of generosity? Because like I said, it's a lot of it is to do with us as individuals, between us and God. It's not anything that I can say, you must this or you must this. It's between us as individuals. Say, hey, Lord, I'm with you. I want to partner with you. So our generosity is motivated from a place of concern and compassion. That's usually where it comes from, and getting this new heart. It's a work in progress, but when we start to understand what that secret of fulfillment looks like, and that actually the fulfillment comes through Christ Jesus, that's when we can be in a place where we can be fully content and be secure in Him rather than anything else. That we can ask, that we could be generous givers, that the church in Philippi were generous. Like them, we can ask, can Lord, would you help me to be generous with what I have? Because there is an eternal perspective here, and we want to partner with Him Most High. So I think what would be great to do is let's just have a bit of a time just to come before God. I'm going to pray, and then let's just spend some time dwelling, asking God some of those questions. Lord, help me partner with you more. Lord, you need to challenge me about my generosity. Lord, would you give me the gift of giving, and would you help me in this? So I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for the example of the generosity of the church in Philippi. Lord, thank you that you have given us much. Lord, that through your Son Jesus, we have complete fulfillment. Lord, would you just come over this place right now? Would you just come in this place? Would you just help us with this whole subject? Lord, we know it's a difficult one. Lord, would you just help us today? Lord, because we want to be all in for you. Lord, we want to partner with you with what we have. Lord, would you help us to be generous with what you've given us? All for your glory, Lord, not for our own. And Jesus, would you multiply the resources and the wealth and the offering that we bring to this church to see your kingdom advance in this place? Would you multiply it, Lord, so that we can see more advancement, more things happening in your name? In the name of Jesus, would you multiply it here? In Jesus' name, amen.